Do you feel like your business is running your life instead of the other way around? I'm Roy Castleman. I've built multiple seven-figure companies, worked across continents, and coached high-performing entrepreneurs. But I've also been completely burnt out. At one point, I was barely seeing my daughter, drowning in stress, and one step away from walking away from it all. That's when I made a decision to build a business and a life that works for me. The journey became Elevate 360. A system to help business owners reclaim their time, find their energy again, and get back in control without sacrificing growth. And this podcast, Power Movers, is where I share real stories behind that shift. Each week, you'll hear from entrepreneurs, founders, and leaders who've walked through the fire and come out of the other side with clarity, courage, and a system that works. If you're ready to build a business that gives you more life instead of taking it away, you're in the right place. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. I'm here with Craig, my good friend. He is on the bleeding edge of AI. He's doing things that are going to change the world. Has inspired me every time we've spoken. Craig is working with AI avatars, but he's working with emotion. He's working with human language. He's working with a much deeper understanding. Welcome, Craig. It's really good to have you on the podcast.
Thank you, Roy. I appreciate it. Always nice to see you.
And I think it's probably worthwhile starting with how this started for you. Yeah, not going that far back, but how this current journey.
It all started for me because my grandpa died. Grandma was lonely, and I thought I would be the good grandson, build an AI companion. Was in a PhD program at Michigan State University. Thought, I'm the right one for this, right? And along the way, found the real key was emotions and how we communicate. Did patented on that. We're a couple years of validating, and here we are.
That story with your grandma resonates with so many people. People are going to be sitting there saying, but really, AI, it's not good enough. So tell us why it's different.
Sure. Most AI that we've all experienced has been some kind of a chatbot, right? And the chatbots that we get are fine and good, but they just only do a certain thing or they act a certain way that's always the same. You get the same robotic type of response back. It doesn't seem personal. It doesn't connect with you. And you're on other sides of what we call the uncanny valley, right? Area in which, you know, that you don't really accept a technology because it's not quite human enough, or it's too human, and you've got to find a bridge or a way across that. We detect the emotions that are communicated between people. It's part of our language, the structure of communication, both on the subtextual level and also on the contextual levels. It becomes important to use these clues and signals to inform any type of AI that has to interact with a human being, because we have feelings, and what we interact with should understand that. Otherwise, it just becomes those chatbots with five options that you yell at. I know I do when I'm trying to book my flight or get some help from the utilities. Really, that's the why in what we do and what makes it different. So you can use that in enterprise for customer service, wayfinding, or in mental health, help people connect or help people try to get better.
Even since I've known you probably 6 months, the technology has just moved on so much. And I think it's a good time for us to give a demonstration of one of your avatars. And Craig's got a whole bunch of different avatars. He has a set of humans that you can go and play with, and we'll share some of that. And literally, the interactions you have with them is so different. Let's have a chat.
Let me get everything going here, and I'll bring everybody in. So what we're going to see is a personal shopper. Her name is Carrie. And we created her to help out with a shopping transaction. And we use a lot of real-world experience because we're all online shoppers as well. Let's go ahead and talk to Carrie and see what we can do.
Hi, I'm Carrie. Tell me what you're shopping for.
Yeah, I'm looking for some pants. What do you have in pants today?
For pants, we currently have a few options. The Tiller Jean Essential Ashland Pant. Vintage fit double front canvas pant and the Ashland bib. Let me know if any of these catch your eye and we can dive into the details.
Yeah, can I see the essential Ashland, please?
Here are 1 second. I'll check. Would you like some insight into how others have felt about wearing the essential Ashland pants? I can show you some customer reviews that highlight the fit and durability if you're interested. From the reviews, People have been praising the Essential Ashlyn pants for their comfort and versatility. Many have noted they hold up well in both casual and more rugged environments. Let me know if you're leaning towards a particular color or size.
Yeah, I like the black one.
The black Essential Ashlyn pant is a solid choice. Just let me know your size preference.
Yeah, what sizes do they come in?
The Essential Ashlyn pant is available in sizes from extra small to double extra large. Just let me know which size fits you best.
Excellent. I'll do a large. Please add that to cart.
Great. I've added the black Essential Ashlyn pant. If there's anything else you need or if you're ready to check out, just let me know.
Yeah, Carrie, let me see some long sleeve shirts that you'd recommend that would go with those pants.
I can see we have the Dearborn Loose LS logo t-shirt and Durham knit overshirt, among others, that could match those black pants beautifully. Would you like more details on either of those?
Yeah, the Dearborn Loose. Let me see that, please.
Hold on a second. Here's the Dearborn Loose long sleeve logo t-shirt. It has a relaxed fit and is available in a few colors that could pair well with your black pants, like the smoke teal green or the classic black.
Yes, let's do a large teal and add that to cart, please.
I've added the Dearborn Loose long sleeve logo t-shirt in smoke teal green and large size to your cart. Is there anything else you'd like to explore or another item you're considering?
We'll mute her right now and toss it back over to you, Roy. She's a big shopping assistant, match and pair things together, build carts, and then be able to answer customer questions that usually would prevent somebody from adding stuff to cart or completing a transaction. So helps to speed that up. The friction's gone and does it in a very personable way, a character that people can relate to. Obviously, she's emotionally intelligent too. So if I was to have a meltdown about one of the sizes or anything else, she could respond to me in real time and get me over to the
Let's
large.
try that. Let's be a little bit irritated about something and see what happens.
Sure. Excellent. Let me go ahead and see that. Now, Carrie, I'm really frustrated, and frankly, I don't know what the hell you're doing. I did not want to see any of those t-shirts. I really wanted to see some pants.
Sorry for any misunderstanding. Let's get back to the pants. Is there a specific type of pants or style you're interested in seeing again, or something I can clarify for you?
Yeah, I just want to see the pants, please.
Let me see. I've got the pants collection up for you. Take a look and see which styles might fit your needs better this time. Thank you for your patience.
As you can see, she handles the frustration and the anger that I'm showing her and being able to not fit my, comply. So does her best. She apologizes, basically mirror the user so that they can understand that they understand what's going on and that they're trying to please them. I think this is something that's missing currently from technology today and is essential for a really good full range shopping experience. You don't want your chatbot to be an anger machine. So somebody's emotions actually help guide the conversation so the customer doesn't spend too much time being angry or fearful.
Let's go back to chatting.
Sure.
So, sitting where you're sitting at the moment, Craig, you're seeing so much opportunity in so many different places. You're early to this game. Have you seen the change in how people are viewing AI in the last 6 months?
Yeah, absolutely, Roy. I think it changes week to week. It's come something being coined as the speed of AI. And we're obviously early adopters. We started doing this stuff 2015, 2016, right? So we've been around a while doing this stuff and seeing the hockey stick of progression is just through the chart. It's exponential now because AI really enables that, right? It enables productivity to compound exponentially. Knowledge and information to compound exponentially. And I think that it really enables everybody to have a little bit of a superhuman power. And from what we're seeing in our perspective is it is disruptive. It can be disruptive, but in a good way. It solves some of the biggest problems that humanity has right now. Jobs we don't want to do, that tax us, that are mentally draining, that leave us with feeling terrible and is a psychological burden on us. There are a lot of jobs that are like that. Customer service support gives a really good example. You don't call a customer service or support because you're having a good time, right? Usually the problem, and you're not happy about it, right? So you're getting a mental dump of all these people's problems on any CSR. So burnout becomes a problem. Churning of employees becomes a problem that Verne can help solve by putting AI there to do that first level stuff, to connect with a human being, to make them feel like they're heard. And we always tell everybody, Roy, that we want to be like Bill Barr, right? Or Bob Barr, rather, in Incredibles, in the first scene when the old lady trying to get help and the insurance company can't. And Bob basically tells her exactly, the guy on the inside tells her how to cut all the red tape and achieve her goals. And she's extraordinarily happy and satisfied. That's what we want Verne to be for the user, is to act like they're the person on the inside that they can trust, get them the information they need to accomplish their goals. And then good things come from that.
And it's such a risky journey for companies, isn't it? And this is what you're struggling with because you've seen bigger companies laying off 5,000 people because AI is going to do it, and then realizing AI not bringing the emotion to it and the clients are going away.
Exactly. And another thing too is there's a term called AI washing, which I think is really true. A lot of these companies that are shedding people added them gratuitously during the pandemic. If you look at all the hiring that Meta, Microsoft, you name any one of these companies that were trying to expand and grow, seeing work from home being an opportunity. So they added a lot of headcount towards risks and bets that they were making. Some of them didn't come true. There's a gravitational pull back into community and offices and in person. So you're seeing some of that is a direct result of they just had so much overhead. Some of that is you're also seeing too from insiders is we're getting rid of these people because we think AI can fill the gap. We don't know, and it's your job to figure it out. That's a recipe for disaster. It absolutely is, and it will be doomed to fail. The incentives aren't aligned. And what we see where AI can do the most good is some of the most sensitive places, like within mental health,
Yes,
within, you know, dealing with.
let's talk about that a little bit because
Sure.
that's something people are going to be sitting here not having had the experience with your avatars. There's got to be so many guardrails. How do you take somebody that's nearly suicidal and put an AI model in front of them? What's happening at the moment, which we start seeing in the news and it starts getting blown up, is people are using ChatGPT as a service because that's all they've got, right? Yeah.
It's not responsible either. And one of the big problems is with large language models, there's no consensus on what emotions are in psychology. So they don't know which one to use at any given moment and usually mix them up and give you a mixture of theories, frameworks. You're basically getting slop. And people are taking this as good psychotherapy because it sounds good. They don't know any better and they shouldn't have to know better. But the difference is, and what Verne allows is we don't tell or we don't have the AI, the large language models, guess what the emotions are. They know. We annotate them. We're a measurement tool. You'll get the same answer, same input every single time. If not, it's not a measurement tool, you're guessing. So being able to measure everything gives the AI a very good idea of the emotionality within the scenario. And so what we do is we use the emotion to guide the conversation, right? High anger, repetitively, certain types of emotional expression leads to a triage logic, which would then help to put everything else aside and address the person's issues. This is something we pioneered back in 23. We won the Botathon at Core AI with this module that could detect when somebody was angry and wanted to speak to a manager. It would calm them down, figure out what the problem is, buy some time, and then put in a transfer to a live agent. That type of concept of triage is something you can do with Verne, and it's why we are trusted in deployments that are very sensitive.
You've had some really interesting deployments, and was there an autistic deployment that you told me about?
Yes. Hello, my friend. This is an app for kids with autism or neurodiversity. Have issues with understanding their own emotions. With Verne being able to identify, label emotions for them, allows the avatars to practice with the kids, to review things in their life and their world that they're confused about because they may not understand the emotions. The AI avatars can be age appropriate, gender appropriate, so anything from young kids to teens, young adults can connect with them and look like them and be able to discuss whatever that they want within the respective frameworks using the appropriate psychological therapy.
I think it's fascinating. It's one of the biggest things that's missing in the game at the moment, without a shadow of a doubt. I talk so much about keeping the human and raising the human to the top. If you've got a staff of 10 people and those 10 people are doing 70% of their work as repetitive, boring tasks and 30% of their work that they like doing, can you ship that 70% off to the AI and give them the chance to spend more time connecting, communicating, engaging with clients? And that, I think, is going to be the telling company in 2026 and beyond. It's not the company that just automates everything and lets it go. It's a company that lets a human come to the surface and understands how important that connection is with people. And I think this goes a long way to addressing and honoring that humanity.
We couldn't be here without the humanity, and AI wouldn't be worthy to us if they weren't serving human ends. I think that's critically important that we keep the person. And I hear all the time, what about Terminator? But what people tend to forget is in T2, he was reprogrammed with empathy, set back in time to save humanity, right? So if we don't teach AI how to understand feelings and what they mean to human beings, how they're communicated, then we're doomed to the same fate, right? Hopefully, they'll see the beauty in humanity and how we communicate and express ourselves as worthy as a zero and a one. And so having that translation layer, what Verne allows for the AI to understand humans, and we've found for humans to understand themselves better.
I think one of the biggest lessons I've had in this whole journey is with the current large language models, it allowed me to communicate with my people better. Because as I'm putting the prompts in and I'm getting rubbish out, I'm thinking, what's not clear? And then you analyze yourself and you say, actually, let me read what I just typed in there or talked in there. Ah, this is how it could have been translated. I need to be much more clear. And yeah, in my business relationships, in my personal relationships, in all of them, I feel that's given me an uplift in being more clear.
100%. And one of the things that we've really found is obviously working with these emotional tools is that we detect emotions a lot better. So our personal relationships have gotten better. But I will say there is such thing as an emotional contagion, long theorized, never proven. We've got some paperwork on it, so we'll show it. But yeah, you have to also be careful about surrounding yourself with one emotion or another. Because when we were doing study and building out these models, the team members that were working on, say, anger started to be more angry and sad, similar experience. Love and joy, I don't know how to, if they were a little bit more spunky or not, but it definitely seemed when anybody working on love and joy was a lot happier and we had less issues. The emotional signals you surround yourself with do have a profound impact on you. We're going to prove that out in the next few years.
So, where do you see this all going? What do you see the journey over 26?
Yeah, for us this year, it really is about enabling folks to create interface with AI that's responsible, that's governed, so that they can trust, right? It's all about building trust with AI. It's not going away. It's definitely a tool. Using it and deploying it is very important, obviously, all the way up in the board level. But having the ability to put a layer in between the human and the AI to ensure that both sides play nice, right? I think what we're doing, and for us this year, now down the road, I see as what everybody wants to have is the Bat Computer or Jarvis is the AI that is remarkably human, but still computerized and digital, and obviously has immense amount of resources. That's basically the whole world at your fingertips. Concept and that assistant that's there to help you achieve your goals. So I think that's the path everybody's on, and we're really happy to be able to enable a big part of that.
Yeah, and it's really this piece for me, this doom and gloom beforehand. Now we're moving into a change environment, I think, where people are accepting and they're saying, okay, how can I use this? Hopefully, we will get to a stage where everything is just done so much more efficiently that freedom actually becomes a reality for so many people, right? Food's going to be created, like farming's going to be better, medical's going to be better. The access of information to all the people in the world that can't get it is going to be better. We're going to understand and be able to communicate much more. And there's going to be a change with that time in the near future where more people are going on holidays, more people are spending time with the families, more people are exploring the world and seeing the beauty out there. And that'll be because of AI, right?
And it's the same glide path we've been on since the Enlightenment, right? That steady increase of productivity that leads to more leisure time, more pursuits of things that interest us and that have uncalculable value, priceless.
I saw a couple of things, and then we'll end after that. I saw a couple of things on, I think it was aluminum, like you guys say, or aluminium, as we say, where the MIT scientists put the AI on the task of finding an alloy that was stronger. And in one afternoon, they were able to test 300,000 different possible molecules on it, and they came out with something that was way better. And if you just go and apply that to all the other problems humanity has, we can start solving them and start fixing them.
We're never going to run out of problems. There's always going to be use for people.
Yeah, for sure. It's just going to change. And every major shift in the world, every printing press and every bit of electricity and all these things have all taken us further. There's been a change. We've adapted. We've found out what to do with it. And then we've moved on. And I
Right.
just, I'm waiting for the day where your day becomes going out and connecting with people and having deep and meaningful conversations and understand emotions better. And I just think that's where we're going to go.
Somewhere Socrates, Plato, Aristotle are sitting around laughing because that's what they saw as the world being in the future, is one day when man can step aside from the toils of everyday labor and really look at existence, science, philosophy, and why we're here and where we're going. I love it, man.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me. It's been inspiring talking to you. I'll put your contact details so people can get hold of you, and look forward to chatting in a few months' time and see where you've got to.
Sounds good, Roy. Thanks for having me.